再会。
拜登与多国领导人重点谈及中国。前总统特朗普弹劾审判周二展开。前国务卿舒尔茨去世，享年100岁。
2月9号，星期二，欢迎收看《美国观察》，我是卡拉。白宫表示，拜登总统与中国国家主席习近平还没有通过电话。不过，拜登总统在与世界各国领导人通话时，中国都是交谈的重要议题。白宫也对中国没有参与解决缅甸发生军事政变感到关切。详细情况，请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍。耀毅。
是上个星期呢，白宫的这个发言人沙奇就被问到说，为什么上任了将近2个星期，这个拜登政府呢还没有跟中国国家主席习近平通过电话？对此呢，沙奇当时就表示说，美国要先跟自己的盟友伙伴们以及国会当中的两党协商，才会来跟中国接触。那么这个拜登总统在2月7号星期天的哥伦比亚广播公司 CBS 的专访当中呢，也被问到了一样的问题。当时他的回应是说呢，他跟习近平现在还没有机会通上电话，并且说呢，自己其实也没有理由要打给他。那么在2月8号星期一的白宫新闻简报会上呢，白宫发言沙奇再度被问到这个问题，并且还问说呢，这个拜登总统迟迟不给习近平打电话，是不是要对中国释出什么样的讯息？对此呢，沙奇做出了回应。我们看一下今天沙奇是怎么说的。
Part of our strategy is to consult closely with our partners and allies. And you saw we did readouts of these calls over the past week or so that the president spoke with the prime minister of Japan. He spoke with the prime minister of South Korea. He spoke with the prime minister of Australia. And China was, of course, an important topic of conversation during those conversations. He also discussed China in calls with his European allies thus far. So part of our strategy is certainly engaging with partners in the region and allies and doing those calls and engagements first, and also having consultations with Democrats and Republicans on Capitol Hill. I know I can't say this forever, but we've only been here 2.5 weeks. He has not called every global leader yet. He's not had engagements with all of them, and I'm sure he will do more of that in the weeks ahead.
那同时呢，我们也知道刚才沙奇说了，拜登总统已经跟其他亚洲国家领导人，包括日本、韩国等等的，都已经通了电话了。那么就在今天呢，2月8号，白宫又发出了一个通话记录的声明，就是拜登总统跟印度总理莫迪也通上了电话。那么在白宫发出的声明当中说呢，两位领导人谈了共同对抗新冠病毒的疫情，重振伙伴关系来应对气候变化，重建世界经济来造福两国人民，并且要并肩对抗全球恐怖主义的危害，而且两国要持续的合作来促进自由而且开放的印太地区，包括支持航行自由、领土主权以及透过四方安全对话来建立更坚强的区域架构。另外就是说到缅甸现在这个民主的进程跟法治呢，也必须被保持。那我们也知道每次中国的军舰或是军机出现在包括像南中国海或是周遭的其他的海域的时候呢，造成其他国家的抗议的时候，美国都会说敦促中国要来保持一个开放还有一个自由的印太地区。那么说到缅甸的局势呢，在今天的白宫新闻简报会上，白宫发言人沙奇也表示说呢，美国的确已经针对缅甸局势在做出一些国家安全方面考量，不过呢也说对中国方面没有扮演更大的角色感到担忧。我们看一下沙奇今天怎么说。
National security team has been in touch with a number of our partners and allies. We were outspoken quite quickly in the days following the coup, and we designated it a coup very quickly. In terms of what actions we're taking, there are considerations that are underway or policy processes that are underway on our national security team as we speak. I don't have an update on that today, but when we do, we'll certainly make you all abreast of that. And certainly we are concerned aboutChina's absence from the conversation and lack of a vocal role here.
那么在白宫简报会上呢，被问到说美国面临的最大的全球的威胁是不是像伊朗还有中国这样子？对此呢，沙希则表示，这个定义呢应该由这个国安团队来下定义。卡拉，
好的，感谢姚毅发自白宫的报道。美国宣布计划重新加入联合国人权理事会。美国国务卿布林肯星期一在一份声明中表示，拜登政府再次承诺美国奉行以民主、人权和平等为中心的外交政策。布林肯还表示，有效利用多边工具是这一愿景的重要组成部分。布林肯说，当联合国人权理事会运作良好时，会让人权记录最差的国家成为聚光灯下的焦点。他说，美国必须在其中充分发挥自己的外交领导作用。针对国务卿布林肯的这项宣布，美国国务院发言人普赖斯星期一在例行记者会上进行了说明。
This morning, the Secretary announced the immediate U.S. re-engagement with the UN Human Rights Council. That process is already underway in Geneva, where the U.S. mission today participated in a regular organizational meeting of the council. For now, that engagement will be as an observer, which will allow us to speak in the council.Participate in negotiations and work with partners. As the Secretary noted in his statement, we recognize the Council's flaws, but we do believe that the best way to improve it is to work from within. When it performs as designed, the Council can be a powerful tool to promote fundamental freedoms, protect the rights of women, girls, LGBTQI plus individuals, and other marginalized communities, while promoting accountability for human rights violators around the world.
联合国在2006年成立人权理事会，目前该机构的成员国包括中国、古巴、厄立特里亚、俄罗斯和委内瑞拉，所有这些国家都被控侵犯人权，这也是一些政界人士批评人权理事会的主要原因。布林肯指出，为了确保人权理事会履行其使命，美国更加需要在其中充分发挥外交领导作用，而不能让独裁国家利用这一真空。
And I think our orienting principle here, is that the United States can be a constructive force, that we can help shape, the course of world events. We can help shape international institutions when we're present, when we're at the table. We believe that the United States, plays a constructive role, on the council, when we play a constructive role on the council in concert with our allies and partners, positive change is possible. It is within reach.
菲律宾表示，美国和菲律宾官员计划二月底举行会谈，为解决双方围绕访问部队协议存在的分歧铺平道路。菲外长洛钦星期一说，美菲双方将在二月底的最后一个星期举行会谈，争取就访问部队协议达成协议。菲律宾总统杜特尔特一年前宣布，他要废除准许美国以轮调方式在菲律宾驻扎数以万计的军人的美菲访问部队协议，但是菲政府去年两度宣布暂时不废除这项协议。终止访问部队协议会使美军无法进入菲律宾，美国将无法对中国在南中国海的威胁做出迅速回应。菲方表示，暂时不终止该协议是为了让双方有机会继续努力化解分歧。上个月27日，美国国务卿布林肯与洛钦外长通话，强调了美菲共同防御条约对两国安全的重要性。美国前国务卿乔治·舒尔茨2月6日在位于加州斯坦福大学的家中去世，享年100岁。舒尔茨曾在尼克松政府时期担任劳工部长、财政部长等职务，并在1982至1989年里根政府时期担任国务卿长达6年时间，是二战以后任职最久的国务卿，在冷战后期对缓和美苏关系起到了重要作用。舒尔茨在里根政府时期揭示对台六项保证，至今仍是美国对台湾政策的重要原则。舒尔茨1920年出生于纽约市，二战时期曾在美国海军陆战队服役，战后于麻省理工学院取得工业经济学博士学位，曾先后于麻省理工学院、芝加哥大学和斯坦福大学任教。1989年，舒尔茨获颁美国最高平民荣誉总统自由勋章。前国务卿、现斯坦福大学胡佛研究所所长康多利扎赖斯在一份声明中表示，舒尔茨是伟大的美国政治家和真正的爱国者，他让世界变得更美好，并将被历史铭记。 随着越来越多的人接种新冠疫苗，医疗保健专家正在设法解决如何证明个人已经接种的问题。来看美国之音记者巴卡雷茨的报道。
一张简短的表格，一些有关健康的问题，以及快速接种，然后是一张疫苗卡。这是在美国接种新冠疫苗的标准流程。疫苗卡是一张小纸片，由卫生专业人员用手填写。马里兰州的学校老师马尔·希瓦斯安最近拿到了一张。
She told me I can't lose it. I have to have it, and I have to make sure I take it with me when I get my second dose.
疫苗接种卡提醒你在3星期内要接种第二剂。同时它也是美国电子记录档案的备份。
So everybody who gets a COVID-19 vaccine in the US, in the state that they're in, that information gets electronically put into the registry.
但谭丽坚说，他认为疫苗接种证书很容易伪造，他希望用世界卫生组织正在考虑中的一种新系统。
I think there has to be validation.There has to be a way to validate that information, which is why I think having something that is digitally secure, which is what the smart certificate that WHO is looking at, is needed.
世卫组织已经有一种所谓的黄卡，它实际上是进入某些国家所需的正式疫苗接种记录。这个想法对新冠疫苗接种也提供相同的功能。国际航空运输协会建议使用疫苗接种应用程序。
Travel Pass is essentially an app, which is will be designed to be downloaded on an customer's phone, either directly from Apple iOS or Google Play for Android, or through an airline's app.And eventually, that would allow a customer to be able to digitally identify themselves.
国际经济论坛也在研发一种类似的数字护照，是一个称为通用通行证的应用。这是储蓄所有医疗数据的 IBM 平台。
So in the U.S., everybody is required to send the vaccination activities to the state.And the state keeps this information into a registry. And what we are working on now is connecting the platform to the registries so we can also expose that information back to you.
然而人权活动家对依靠应用程序感到担心。他们强调并非每个人都有智能手机。
Connecting vaccination with the need to have an expensive smartphone doesn't serve civil liberties or civil rights purposes.
开发人员说，这些应用程序到2021年底前应该会全面运行。官员说，在很大程度上取决于世界各地疫苗接种的速度快慢，以及各国何时开放边界。美国之音记者巴卡雷茨华盛顿报道。
针对美国前总统特朗普的弹劾审判将于美国时间周二拉开序幕，具体详情我们请美国之音记者文浩来介绍。文浩。
这次的弹劾审判是从2月9日开始，那么预计是会持续1到2周的时间。那么虽然说这个弹劾审判跟传统意义上的司法审判不太相同，它不是在法庭中进行，而是在这个由立法机构之一的参议院进行。但是呢，这个弹劾审判的一些组成元素和关键步骤呢，跟普通的司法审判是没有太大的区别的。那么这个起诉方呢，是由众议院。是由众议院指派的9名这个弹劾经理人，他们是以煽动叛乱为理由，是对前总统特朗普进行的起诉。那么代表这个被告方特朗普的呢是他的2名辩护律师呢，他们认为特朗普是并没有煽动起诉，而且是认为参议院对一名已经下台了的总统进行起诉是不合宪法的。那么主持这次审判的会是参议院的资深民主党莱西。那么平常的这个弹劾审判呢，是会由最高法院的首席大法官来主持。那不过这次呢，也是由于特朗普已经下台，所以这个最高法官罗伯茨是选择没有参与这个审判流程。那目前还不是很清楚会不会有什么证人。那么特朗普此前已经是拒绝了来到这个审判现场作证。但是呢，这个参议院还是有权去投票来决定是否要召唤新的证人。那不过值得一提的是呢，这次弹劾审判的起因 就是认为特朗普总统前总统特朗普呢，在一月六日发表的公开讲话，最终是煽动了对国会山的冲击。那么我们知道，在这个国会山受到冲击的时候呢，参众两院的议员也都是全部在国会大厦之内。那么所以说，这次这个担任陪审团职务的100名参议员呢，他们其实也可以算得上是目击证人。那么在这100位参议员当中，是需要有2/3以上，也就是67个人投票同意，才可以最终判定特朗普总前总统特朗普有罪。那么我们知道，现在民主党在参议院是占有50席，那么想要这个从共和党那边再拉来17位议员加入他们的可能性，其实是并不大的。那么除此之外呢，是当一位总统，就是在一般意义上的弹劾审判呢，一位总统在被弹劾之后呢，他受到的惩罚就是他必须被迫下台。那么我们也知道，特朗普是已经是一位已经下了台的总统，所以民主党呢其实是希望能够通过这次的审判，如果能判定他有罪之后呢，再投票表决一项条款，是在未来阻止他再次这个再次参与竞选活动，也就是等于是禁止他在接下来的2024年或者是2028年再次参选总统。那么就像我刚刚说到的，其实呢，如果其实就算想要判定特朗普前总统特朗普有罪的可能性已经很低了，那么想要这个通过这个条款阻止他再次竞选的可能性呢，可以说是几乎为零。那么在这个国会当中，我们也知道两党对于这个弹劾的观点是非常的相对立的。那么接下来我们来通过一篇美国之音的电视报道来了解一下。
We're going to try and give them the kind of pride and boldness that they need to take back our country. So let's walk down Pennsylvania Avenue.
国会参议员将于周二开始审理特朗普弹劾案。对于这位前任总统是否应因被指控在冲击国会事件中负有责任而受到弹劾，共和党人与民主党人的意见并不一致。
We've never been in this situation before. We've never had a former president who is going to go through an impeachment trial in the Senate. And Republicans will spend much of this trial arguing that there's a reason for that, that this is outside the bounds of the Constitution, that this is not a precedent that should be set.
众议院多数党领袖佩洛西说，弹劾特朗普前总统恰恰是为了维护美国宪法。
Again, we're here to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. The world witnessed the incitement that the president caused to incite an insurrection against our government, against our capital, against members of Congress, with the use of force and violence.
在共和党占传统优势的西弗吉尼亚州，许多特朗普的支持者认为弹劾案可能进一步加剧民众间的对立。
It's a bad thing. He's out of office. We're going to impeach him for impeachment is for to remove him from office. He's already been removed.
弹劾案需要参议院2/3以上的成员认为特朗普前总统有罪，达到这一数字需要至少17位共和党人投赞成票。
There has been some discussion about trying to bar him from running from office again, because Trump has said that he would consider running again in 2024. But I think this is in some ways symbolic. This would be just trying to put real accountability around what happened and laying that blame squarely at former President Trump's feet.
美国之音新闻报道。
那么我们知道了，这个共和党是主要是站在前总统特朗普的一边，但是在共和党的选民当中也是有不同的意见。那么详细情况，我们再来通过一篇电视报道来了解一下。
新总统入主白宫后，美国各地的共和党人开始反思特朗普总统任期结束前的高潮以及即将发生的一切。
I think what happened at the Capitol is inexcusable.
1月6号，受到示威者冲击的美国国会大厦，距离弗吉尼亚州的甘草市场镇65公里。这里是牙买加移民克里斯·莫里斯的故乡，他在大选中支持特朗普。
For those individuals who were there storming the Capitol, I think most of them were doing it mostly for him, to support him. And he has caused our country to be more divided.
Walk down Pennsylvania.
民主党人指责特朗普鼓励了冲击国会大厦的暴力行动，因为他在没有证据的情况下继续声称选举被盗。特朗普的回应是
This was a fraudulent election, but we can't play into the hands of these people.We have to have peace.
莫里斯同意在弹劾案中投票反对特朗普的少数共和党议员。
I think they were feeling the frustration that someone in the position that he had, he did not respond very presidentially.
He rolled out his response really weakly.
来自中西部爱奥瓦州的学校教师亚伦·塞维尔是位共和党人，他没有投票支持特朗普。他指责特朗普支持者在国会大厦发动的袭击。
Their frustration boiled over, and it's almost like that mistake you make when you're angry and you don't think it through.
I really think it was more sinister than that.
特朗普的支持者戴波拉·蒂尔格在西海岸的华盛顿州经营一个农场。
I think they did it to make him look bad.
I believe it was planned by Democrats.
退休人员玛丽琳·克拉克不认为抗议者是特朗普的真正支持者。
I believe that there could have been some extremists there.
We are in a polarizing environment.
来自德克萨斯州的克里斯蒂娜·莫尔科姆认为，在国会大厦的抗议活动和黑人的命也是命示威活动之间存在相似之处，都是要趁机捣乱。
Are all those people Trump supporters, or are they dressed up as Trump supporters to make Republicans look bad? Like, I think all options are on the table because of the world we live in right now.
I believe that they want to impeach him so that he won't run again, to keep him out of office. But I think he's already done that to himself.
I don't think that we should seal the coffin on his ability to be part of the government any longer.
关于特朗普和暴力冲击国会大厦的不同看法，反映出一个分裂的国家以及一个日益分裂的共和党。
The GOP is sort of in the middle of what I call a intra-party civil war between.More traditional conservatives against the more modern Trumpy people, the populists.
但是他们都认为参议员不应该投票给特朗普定罪。
Voting for the impeachment is going to further divide our country.
And I believe that it was a waste of taxpayers' dollars.
南希·席茨和她的丈夫说，现在是立法者继续前行并开始工作的时候了。美国之音李爱琳报道。
好的，感谢美国之音记者文浩的报道。美国国防部发言人科比星期三在例行记者会上回答有关五角大楼是否掌握有关新疆种族灭绝证据的提问时表示，他不能公开情报信息，但五角大楼支持美国国务院的评估。
The department supports the assessment made by.The State Department, in terms of what's happened to the Uyghurs, and we would refer you to the State Department for further comment on that.
针对记者提问指出，美国国防部在全球军事部署计划中提到，中国是最大挑战之一，是否会加大美国在亚太地区的军事存在？科比表示，美国将继续维持对盟友的安全承诺。
We will continue to maintain our security commitments to our allies and partners there. We will continue to maintain rotational force deployments in and out of the region, just like we talked about last week with aircraft carriers.
针对记者有关俄罗斯和中国在中东的军事行动的提问，科比表示，中国在全球范围内对美国构成与日俱增的挑战，美国会确保国家利益不受损害。
You also heard the secretary talk about the existing national defense strategy and his agreement that, that the central tenets of that defense strategy, that China does pose a pacing.Challenge to the United States globally, not just in the Middle East, but globally, and that Russia, as they try to be resurgent, very often acts in ways that are inimical to not only our national interests, but the national interests of countless others in the international community. He will, as he goes through this global posture review, take a look at whether or not we are properly resourced.And that we are executing the right missions to make sure that, that we're protecting the United States and our national interest against those that would challenge that.
在华盛顿近郊的弗吉尼亚州北部地区，公立学校由于新冠疫情而采取远程教学。很多家长担心长期脱离学校环境可能会影响学生的心理健康。当地校区最近开始为教职员工接种疫苗，但是这个过程并不顺利。来看报道。
阿灵顿居民迪娜·卡普托是两个孩子的母亲，她注意到在学校启动远程教学不久后，儿子开始出现抑郁症的迹象。
He was lonely. He was sad. He started sleeping, so he would get up and then he'd go back to bed at like 10:30 and sleep till noon. He's not a teenager. He's 10. He was just 10 in December, so he was actually 9.
卡普托是一名心理学专家，他认为儿子的表现和长期远程教学有关。
He would tell you he's not good at school and he's not smart. Things that he had never done before and.I think he lost a purpose. Like kids, like most humans, need a purpose. They need something to get up and do and be responsible.
卡普托是当地家长团体阿灵顿家长支持教育协会的成员。这个团体推动阿灵顿的校区尽快复课。在紧邻阿灵顿的富尔斯彻奇市，当地家长考特尼·穆尼正在陪儿子丹尼尔上课，但是丹尼尔并不喜欢这种安排。
It makes me feel lonely because I'm just sitting down here in the basement all by myself all day, pretty much almost every day, and there's really nothing I can do about it. The only thing I can really do is say that I really, really want to be back in school.
It's very painful to see my kid sitting by himself all day, every day, and not getting that interaction.
维吉尼亚北部各地的学校从一月底开始启动教职员工的疫苗接种计划。教师工会说，在多数教师完成接种之前，学校很难开放。穆尼说，感染病毒的风险和长期脱离学校可能引发的心理问题，让很多家长感到纠结。
Having our kids in the class, it does come with risk, but it is not the it that is not what's going to endanger my kid in the long term and hurt his health in the long term. It's the not being in school that does that.
截至目前。北弗吉尼亚州校区已经有上千名教职员工完成了第一剂疫苗接种，但是部分校区的疫苗供应从本星期开始出现短缺，接种进度的放缓有可能会推迟学校开放的计划。美国之音电视新闻。
以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次再见。